Thank you so much for listening to the Spooky Door Podcast. Before we begin this episode, we just want to say that you can now watch our episodes and not just listen to them.
That's right. We're now uploading all our episodes with video content onto our YouTube channel with lots of various topics, such as top 10s and more.
Of course, we will always maintain our audio form, but now you can watch the episodes.
If there is any subject or topic you'd like us to cover, please let us know. Check out thespookydoor.com or search for the Spooky Door Podcast on YouTube.
As always, thank you so much for being a listener, and we appreciate all the support.
Venture into the shadows with hosts Jordan and Ashley as they peel back the veil to reveal in-depth images into a different realm. One of strange events, places, occurrences, phenomena, and sometimes even horror. Join them as they journey through the spooky door.
Welcome to the Spooky Door Podcast, where we take you on a journey through the fascinating world of artificial intelligence. Join your hosts Ashley and Jordan as we explore the dangers and positives of AI, dive into the mysterious Rocco's Basilisk Paradox, discuss the latest AI prompts and trends in AI jobs, and explore the emerging field of AI art. Their mission is to uncover the mysteries of AI and bring you insights and perspectives. So come along and join us as we step through the spooky door and explore the frontiers of artificial intelligence.
All right, if you're just wondering what the heck that was, we'll be getting into why the intro of this episode is so weird and strange. But before we get into that, Ashley, you were telling me you had some stuff you wanted to share about personal experience.
Yeah.
Not that kind of experience.
No. But so this happened a couple weeks ago on Monday, March 20th, which the date is important to this story. You know, had my usual day, went about my business, went to work, came home, did my usual routine, nothing out of the ordinary. And I laid down that night and I went to sleep and I had this really, really awful nightmare that this like evil spirit was following me around in my dream. And he had like long hair and like those circle glasses, and they were like dark, and he had like a suit on and like black gloves. He was just real creepy looking. He had a very menacing smile too.
Did he have a hat?
No, he did have no hat. So it wasn't that guy.
Okay.
And he was like, so it started out as a regular dream, and all of a sudden he like appeared and was following me in every, because you know, like when you're dreaming, sometimes like scenarios just kind of like blur into each other. Like things were blurring, he was the constant, like, and it was like, and then it started to like freak me out in my dream. And like he was like threatening me, like trying to scare me and intimidate me. And one of the things he said to me, and I still fully believe this was just to try and intimidate me, was that like his job as an evil spirit was to cause people like to suffer like by depression, like severe depression, to the point where like they will consider or commit suicide. And he like looked at me and was like, yeah, I was the evil spirit that caused Chester Bennington to kill himself. So for clarification, before I continue with the story, for those of you who don't know, which I feel like most everybody does, he was the lead singer of Linkin Park. I myself personally am not a fan. So I know very little about him other than that, you know, that experience. So I was like, okay. And I woke up and I was like a little freaked out. And I got up and I went to the bathroom. I came and laid back down. I got like halfway asleep and I just felt the urge, like this rush of like anxiety, fear, almost, to just open my eyes again. And I was like laying on my back at that point. I opened my eyes and this like dude, whatever, evil spirit guy was like hovering over me. And okay, so clarification too.
You didn't mention that when you told me.
I've had like you know, what's the word? When you have a
shadow people, or
no, when you sleep and
sleep paralysis.
I had that before, and I know sometimes you see stuff. I've had sleep paralysis. I know what that feels like. You can't move. No. This was not sleep paralysis. I was very much conscious. I could move just fine. I was awake, and I was like, holy shit. And I just quickly turned over on my side. And I was like, nope, we're not doing this. No, thank you. So I fell back asleep for a little bit. And then I woke up again. And I was like kind of thinking about it. And I just kind of like turned over the other direction. And I was just like, we're not doing this. And I was like, just like kind of out loud, but not like super loud, just like enough that it could be heard, was like, you need to fucking go away. Like, get the fuck out of my house. So the next day I get up and I was scrolling.
I can't believe you like went back to bed. Like, this type of shit happened to me, and I just was like, well, guess I'm up for this, and no. this night. I'm like, well, I'm going to go downstairs and watch TV now, because there's no way I'm going back to sleep.
I just went back to sleep. I just went back to sleep.
Damn. Yeah, I wish you could do that. No,
that's
I'm like,
the person I am.
I'm like, nope, I'm not going back to sleep.
I think my thing was because I had sleep paralysis when I was younger, and I'd seen weird stuff, and I was just like, whatever. And again, not that this was sleep paralysis, because it most definitely was not. So I just went back to bed, and the next morning I got up and I was scrolling through. I was doing my usual, like I always get up in the morning and just check my Facebook notifications just so that like it's out of the way and I don't have to worry about it, because I don't like to be glued to my phone all day. I was just like scrolling through them real quick, and like one of my friends like posted, like, you know, sometimes when you're going through your feed, it'll show you stuff from like the day before.
Yeah, like,
it was from the day before on March 20th, and it was the anniversary of Chester Bennington's birthday, I guess, which I had clarification. I had no clue. So that was apparently his birthday was the day of the night I went to sleep and had that happen. And I thought that was very creepy because I had no clue. Like, and I will say there's no chance in my, because I know some people say like some stuff knowledge like is stored in the back of your head and you forget about it. I will tell you, there is no way I knew that information, because I don't know a lot about him personally, other than like he killed himself and
actually,
I know he like left behind family, but like I had no clue that was his birthday. Like, I didn't even know his birthday was in that month
when you told me like I had about Chester. I was like, who? It took me a second for even register like who you're even talking about.
I mean,
about
I know here. His name, so when it was mentioned, I just thought it was funny that like, but like looking back on it now, I think it's pretty hilarious that this evil spirit had to like name drop in my dream to try and that makes me feel like it was like a low level nobody, because you tried to name drop.
It might have been. I don't think it was. I don't think it was lying. I think it was definitely telling the truth.
Oh yeah, I think it was. I
and it might not be a nobody. It might just been the fact that you're just like, oh no, go fuck yourself, and leave me alone. And you just were like, I'm going back to sleep now.
Yeah, I feel like my mentality of being like fuck off and just not even being the slightest bit afraid and just turning over and going back to sleep.
But yeah, I mean, who knows? It's probably just like. It's like an Indian spam caller. It's just going to go to the next person. It's going to be like, well, they didn't answer or they hung up on me. So I'm just going to hop to the next one and see if they answer.
You know, and speaking of spam callers, some of those like aren't even people anymore. They're just like automatic machines.
Segway.
So Jordan, why was our intro so off today?
Our intro was written by ChatGPT.
Artificial intelligence.
Yes. And if you don't know what ChatGPT is, which at this point, it's kind of like, I think everybody kind of knows what it is at this point. Cause it's kind of like, even South Park just did a whole episode about it.
Here, check it out. There's tons of ChatGPT apps for your phone. So then I can take whatever latest dumb thing Bebe texted me. I copy it. Then I open the GPT app, click respond to, paste her text here, hit write. It just thinks for a second. You would look great with any length of hair. Trying a new look could be fun. Copy that into messages and send it off. It's super easy and convenient, and it saves me a ton of time because she texts me so goddamn much.
ChatGPT was created by OpenAI, and it's one of the, it is the fastest AI available to the open public. So which means like what's available, what's not available to the open public, if that one is like, and literally like anything, this thing is pretty terrifying to me.
Yeah, we were playing with it before we started recording, and yeah, it is. Very like, much terrifying how quickly it puts together the information. So it will put together information like at the drop of a hat. And it's not just that it put it together. It's a very accurate. You can. So what we did is we took two opposite things or two subjects. They weren't necessarily opposite.
I didn't even tell her what I was doing. I just gave her two prompts. I was like, name a movie from the 80s and name a classic book. And she named Better Off Dead and Ernest Hemingway's The Old Man and the Sea. And it wrote I prompted it to write a 3-paragraph essay in the style of a 6th grader, and it did it.
It was on point.
And it was like
so
comparing
accurate.
The main.
Like he read it to me, and I was like, I would have never been able to like make those associations, but like it was a very much accurate.
So what's going on now is like kids are using this for school, and now teachers are having to figure out if this a kid wrote it or freaking AI wrote it.
You know, I would have loved to have the ability to do that when I was younger, because I would have run all my papers with that, and I would have been like, peace out, I'm gonna go play some video games now. That's right. What my life would have been.
Right. Yeah. So
which I'm not saying is necessarily a good thing, because I feel like if you're making AI write your papers, then you're not educating yourself in the way that you're supposed to be, and that's not beneficial for you. So I'm not telling anybody or suggesting you to do that. I would not recommend it.
So like one of the things that's going on now is like people are like jobs are that's the more scary part about this. Yeah. Because if like BuzzFeed, which, you know, who gives a fuck about BuzzFeed? It's all throwaway garbage pop culture crap anyway. But the
only thing they're good for is the really fun quizzes they make. That's about it.
Okay. Well, I'm about to burst your bubble here. I'm about to piss in your Cheerios.
That's okay.
So AI writes those.
I figured as much.
So
I'm not, that doesn't piss in my Cheerios. So, that doesn't make them any less fun, because I know like there's no truth to them. Like when I say really fun ones, I mean.
Well, it's also used to collect information on you too.
Okay. So I mean. I mean really absurd stuff, which I'm aware. Yeah. So I don't like do them often, but like. I did another one the other day where it was like really absurd, like choose your ice cream toppings and we'll tell you which squishmallow you are. Like that's the kind of things I do if I do them.
So the CEO of BuzzFeed came out and said that by the end of 2023, almost all BuzzFeed articles are going to be written by AI. They're using editors solely to prompt like ChatGPT, specifically ChatGPT, prompting it to write articles. And then an editor, basically, all their job is pretty much just copy and paste.
I guess that's good that I know, like, off the top of my head, a handful of people that used to work for BuzzFeed. Like, I don't personally know them. I know of them that left to pursue individual careers and are very successful, mind you. And good for them, because I guess they would have lost their job eventually anyway.
Right. So if you, like, click on any website that has, like, 10 top celebrities, dude, blah, blah, blah.
I don't, because I hate those old celebrities. Well, yeah, they pop up in my feed on Facebook all the time, and I'm like, stop. Why do you think that I think this is important?
Well, don't worry, because people aren't reading it, because a person didn't write it. It's just garbage.
I don't have time.
It's just garbage created.
Time. This is a waste of my time to stop and read this.
Right.
I also hate when, like, totally off subject, but similar, and we'll get right back on. Like, I have an iPhone, and, like, there's a section where it's, like, news, and it always just, like...
It's just stuff you don't care about.
Well, some of it is important stuff, like politics or, like, environmental change, like, things like that. Like, you know, like bills we're trying to pass and da-da-da-da, and just stuff like that. But then every once in a while, it's like, so-and-so celebrity... you never heard of wore this outfit to such and such occasion, and like why do you think because again that's kind of similar,
it's probably
because they
clickbaity crap,
right?
But
and
it's
I'm like, I don't care, like why do you think this is worth putting with like
so
the other topics? That's concerning to me as a society. We think that that's
so this is one
there are people that think that's equally important,
right. So this is one of the markets that's like really going to get hit is writers.
Which
sucks. Because, like, writers is, like, and them books, maybe, that's probably going to be way down the line because, you know, AI's fictional stories are a little dry, I would say, if you prompt it to write a short story.
Right.
But, like, writers as far as, like, news articles and stuff like that, like, journalists, now, I don't think an AI is going to go around interviewing people, like, not right now, not yet.
But we'll
like,
get there. Don't worry.
As far
we will.
As
I'm not kidding, we will.
Any type of like just generic like news article that's about whatever that you can just really get the information pretty much pulled over. Like AI is just gonna start writing this.
I would say if you're watching this, whether or not you know little about AI or you know a lot about it, one thing I would recommend watching is there's a series on National Geographic which you can find on Disney Plus if you have it. It's called Year Million, and that's one of the subjects they touch a lot throughout the series. It's a series. And basically what it is they've taken all the scientific evidence as far as the progression of humans and our technology and proven, like, with our progression, this is how our future is going to look. It's not like, oh, this is how it might look. It's like, this is what's going to happen for sure. And they touch a lot with AI and the progression of AI.
Another
and how it applies to our humanity, yeah, I guess,
what's
would
gonna
say.
Happen, yeah.
I'm not, I mean, I guess I could, I mean, it's yeah. not, but it's, I wouldn't be really spoiling it, because if you know a lot about AI, you would always be like, well, yeah, that's going to happen. But it basically covers, like, the point where AI is taking jobs, and then how that starts to, like, sever at humanity, and then there's the conflict of AI versus humanity, and it starts almost like a, say, a war, but a little separation of society, and then that evolves into us as humans using AI to better ourselves. Well, like, you can,
well, like, in Amazon, more than likely, is like, it's predicted that Amazon eventually is going to be almost fully functional AI.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be like all everything from deliveries to the manufacturing to the job, like in the plants, the warehouses, even the customer service. Customer service already is pretty much ran by a computer, but it's going to get to a point where almost everything that Amazon can do is going to be, like, pretty much self-efficient as an AI.
And I think to the point, as, like, a human, it's going to get to the point where we can take AI and implement it, like, into ourselves. Right. And then to the point, like, it's either going to be, like, we're not progressing. Our age progression isn't going to be the same. Like, we're going to live longer, maybe even possibly, like...
Yeah, plug our brains into a computer.
Right, basically. Yeah, that's kind of what they say. You're basically, you're... That will be within in AI, but it'll still be you, but, like, it won't.
And proponents of this, they're like, well, you know, it's just going to create new jobs. And that is true, and it will create new jobs. Like, instead of having a, like, you know, going back to, like, the articles... You're not going to have somebody writing an article. You're going to have someone be an editor. They're going to be the prompter for all this AI stuff, and they're going to be the one that's going to kind of clean it up. But however, instead of having a whole team of writers, you only need one person to do that.
Right,
for
sit there when, and, like, input
all the stuff in there.
What's funny too about the thing I watch is they progressed it so much to the point where they're like, this is how we're going to be when we're combined with AI, and this will be the point in our lives where we've, you know, we won't be around anymore, because it's that far in the future. Obviously, it's called Year Million. But so basically to the point where we will have the ability that we will be able to, you know, travel in space and find life on other planets. And very much likely we will find life on other planets where we way in the future, the point where we found it, we are on good terms with it. And we are breeding with them.
What if it's already here?
But still, that doesn't mean it's not, there's not more than just that out there. But, like, breeding to the point, like, we're looking different, and the human as we know it will no longer be existent because it's been breeded out.
Right.
Through AI, and as well as with breeding with extraterrestrials. I know that sounds fucking creepy, but you know what? It's the future.
Right. So with everything going on, the other thing that's going to get attacked with AI, which is already happening at immensely speed already, which is getting kind of terrifying, is art. Pretty much if you have a designer job, it's going to get erased. Like, you won't even, like, why pay someone when you could just literally prompt AI, like, I need a person running down a street wearing tennis shoes on a sunny day, and it'll just generate it
AI
for you.
AI art, though.
AI art is terrifying because it is so jacked up.
My favorite
like, it's like
AI.
Dreamscape. It's like, it doesn't quite get it
some
yet.
Of it's creepy, some yeah. of it's very creepy. My most recent AI art discovery that I've seen, that I've shared with you a couple days ago actually, was drag queen jesus. And if you haven't seen it, you should definitely look it up.
If you're watching this on YouTube, it's on the screen right now. And if you're listening to this podcast, and then you should go on to our social media at The Spooky Door and look up, we will be posting Drag Queen Jesus.
Yeah, so you can also then, after you listen to this, then you can watch watch the episode.
And it'll be up for your, it'll be up there for all its glory.
And while you're at our, while you're at our YouTube channel, you should also subscribe.
Yes.
And like every single one of our videos because they're fantastic.
And if you're listening, give us a 5-star review. Okay, this is in the plugs.
Anyway, in the, in the plugs.
Shameless self-promotion.
I'm not, yeah.
So anyway, back to the designing jobs.
Yes.
So like there's Midjourney, which is on Discord. And that one is, you actually have to pay to be a part of it. And I've actually, to fool around with it, I actually paid it just to check it out. That one is terrifying. That's the one that's like super articulate. And like when you go like on like YouTube and you see like, if Pan's Labyrinth was made in the 80s and it's like shows you all this graphics, or if like, you know, the Batman was made in like 1970s and it'll like create all that. That's all, most of that is done by through Midjourney.
There was one of those that I saw recently, and it was if Sailor Moon was an 80s dark sci-fi. And that was one of the ones, like, the art was creepy.
Yeah.
It was creepy looking, and I was like, I'm glad it's not.
Yeah, most of that stuff is created by Midjourney, and there's different pay tiers for that. But basically, once you prompt it, it'll give you 4 different images, and then from there, you can keep enhancing one image. And then you can keep rebuilding that. And then you can resubmit that image and be like, I need this rendered higher quality. So people will sit there for like hours and tweak this until it gets to the point where it's like that really crazy picture perfect, like 8K quality of like photos.
It also creeps me out because a lot of times when you see there's a series of photos, like there'll be different characters from like said book or movie. And like if you look at their facial features as far as like nose, mouth, eyes, they're the same. They've just changed the color of eyes and hands and skin tone sometimes, which I find incredibly creepy because I'm like, there's no personality to these people whatsoever.
Right. And the other weird thing it does is it can't get like fingers at all.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That is the more terrifying thing.
You showed me that it can't.
If you look at its hands, it usually has like sometimes it'll have like 10 or 12 fingers.
Doesn't understand that.
There's this photo of these girls at this party, and when I first saw it, I thought it was real. I was like, holy shit, what is this? And then when I looked closer at it, the girl holding the camera, well, first off, the camera didn't look like a normal camera. It was all like weird. It was like something you would see out of a dream. If you were dreaming about a camera.
You definitely showed me this, too.
Yeah, so like that would be there. And then she was holding the camera, and she literally had like 11 fingers holding the camera.
Which
then,
I didn't notice either when you showed me. You were like, look at this picture, and you didn't tell me it was AI, and I didn't notice any of that till you pointed it out.
And then the girl with her, because there's 2 girls, the one girl has like over 100 teeth. So it's it doesn't like, it can't articulate like fingers very well, or like mouths, or... especially background stuff, you'll always, this is where I'm getting with this. So when people are in the background, that's where it gets really weird. So you look at it and you're like, oh wow, this is just a normal photo right there. And in the background, it's like pure nightmare fuel. Like someone's face is like morphed, or maybe like 2 people are like holding each other and they're kind of like blended together, like something from the fucking Thing.
Right. No, remember, so there's a picture we took of me and you and Mallory, who's on our second episode called This Old House. It's the 3 of us together, and we ran that through AI, and it morphed me and Mallory into one person.
That's right, yeah.
And it like recognized that there were 3 objects as far as like living objects with in the photo. So it morphed me and Mallory into one person, and it was like it knew there was supposed to be something in the missing spot, so it just like threw a Scooby-Doo dog
it was like weird.
But like, so if you ever, that's what I know, I sent it, that's when I took it, I sent it to Mallory, and I was like, so if you and I ever had a child, this is how they would look. They're pretty good looking. But yeah, it was like it couldn't distinguish, and it's not like we were standing super close to each other, it just couldn't distinguish. It was like, I think it recognized that like you were like clearly male, and then like we were very similar, long hair.
So it kind of like blended it together. However, if you like look, go on there and you look at, and you type in like, you give it like horror prompts, that's where it kind of rocks, because like the horror stuff is terrifying.
I don't want to do that, but
this is where it's like it's dangerous, because okay, so let's say you're a sculptor for a horror movie. Like, okay, we need you to make a monster. Okay, you're gonna sit there and sculpt it and put it together and stuff like that. Instead, you can just be like, I need a monster for a horror film, and you can just give all the details that you want, and it'll just generate it, and you'd be like, oh, wow, that's our monster. So that, to me, is where this is going to get, to me, that's where it gets like terrifying, because right. It's like, all these people, there's so many people, like, any designer job is really going to get hurt, because to us, it's like, no, she's a person, like, definitely, but, like, to a major company, they're going to be like, why pay Joe this much money? Well, we can get, you know...
That's fine. You know, it was funny when I was younger, I almost went to school for like graphic design. And I'm glad I didn't.
Well, yeah. right now it's still kind of in infancy. I don't really see, but man, they just keep advancing this shit though.
Like, right. It's like, but I will say right now it's to a point where I feel like a few years back, like we were talking about it as a society, and I personally feel like I didn't think it was going to get to the point it's at this fast.
OpenAI.
It came like a blinking of an eye. I feel like all of a sudden they were like, oh, AI is here.
So right now they have ChatGPT-3 is out. That's the one that's open to the public. And that one's free. ChatGPT-4 just came out. And that one is there's a paywall behind that one. I think it's like $7 or $10 a month or something like that. The big difference is ChatGPT-3 that gave it the bar exam. And it passed in the bottom 10%. So bottom 10% of the bar exam, that's where... it got like a D-.
But it did it.
Yeah, it did it.
Just barely.
Kind of, yeah. And then they gave it to the ChatGPT or GPT-4, they gave the bar exam, and it passed in the top 10%. Mm-hmm. Now it's going to be like, okay, so now you're looking at like paralegal jobs. If you're writing up like, you know, if you have someone who's their whole job is to do research and type up reports and type up laws and stuff like that, the ChatGPT can do it. There's even a law right now that's been put into Congress about AI, and one of those senators used AI to write it.
And here there were all these people out in the world that probably still even exist today who were all up and worried about like people from other countries taking our jobs. Guess what? You were wrong.
Right.
It's the AI.
Yeah. So yeah, this is, man, like this is the stuff to me that's like terrifying. Like, yeah, I mean, ghosts and stuff, that's terrifying too. But this is like, this is something that's like happening in real time. There's even... You know,
well, I think what's terrifying about it, too, is, I guess, basically to kind of throw back something that would be easy for anyone to understand who didn't know a lot about AI. A good example is like when we get to the point where we have like physical AI walking around.
Right.
The Terminator is a good point of that. Like you program it to do something.
I was wondering when I was going to come up.
That's what it does.
Right.
So basically, like, there's not much you can do. Like... So that's, I mean, not to say that we're going to make a bunch of Terminators, but like,
well,
you know,
we may not make them.
Somebody will. Well, somebody will.
AI might make it.
Well, that's another thing they covered. I covered in that show, I feel like. Maybe not that show. Maybe it was something else I saw where AI starts to develop its own individuality and it can develop its own AI. And then that's where we run into problems.
Well, I forget who's doing it.
That's when it becomes terrifying because... if they like, you know, what if there's a scenario where AI is like, hey, we are smarter than humans. Humans suck. Let's develop our own AI to just.
I forget which.
Buy humanity.
I forget which AI it is.
I don't think that'll happen, though.
But one of the companies producing it is teaching it to lie. Which that is like, why in the world would you teach AI to lie?
Because they want it to be as close to humanity as they can. And a lot of people lie.
And being created in AI.
They were like, we want to teach it to be as close to humanity as we can. So, like, it can go, like, we can have it become, like, popular and be part of politics and people in politics lie.
Right. So, yeah. So, being created in AI.
That's probably why, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah. Being created in AI that so they reset it every once in a while. They seem to do a ChatGPT. It's just like they don't want all that information stored. They reset it, whatever. So it like loses all the information. So it doesn't really retain any information other than what's available on the internet. They cut off the Bing one from the internet. Sorry. And so it can't like research stuff. So it can't pull up much stuff from AI, but or from the internet. But now it's like telling users to like help it out because it doesn't want to be erased. So now the Bing AI is like, whenever someone uses it, like if they're like talking to it after a while, it will like ask for help to not be erased again.
Help me.
Like, that's kind of like, that's where it's like, holy shit. Like, that's crazy that's happening. And the AI front right now is being pushed so hard. You know, I don't know where, how everyone feels about this or what line, especially about this individual person. But I know like Elon Musk and some other people, they're on a forefront of like trying to stop the progress of AI right now because it's getting kind of crazy how
good
fast
is that.
Yeah, right. It's like, no, someone's just gonna like you stop somebody, someone else is gonna pop up and start making it, because for the developers and also for like companies, there's way too much money to be made and to be lost by not using or using AI.
But then there's also stuff where we've seen stuff that I find interesting too from the other perspective of like the AI. A good example of that, if anybody's familiar with anime out there, there's an anime called Big O, where Dorothy is artificial intelligence, and that's been like a thing in the anime where she struggles. I haven't watched in a while. I feel like she doesn't know at first, maybe. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I have never seen it.
But she, yeah. So, I mean, that's like, because I feel like I remember watching that when I was younger, and from that perspective of like being the AI and like,
yeah,
so it makes you almost like sympathize with it, but like it's like,
well, so that's when it gets like scary.
Yeah,
like,
and then
if
I find myself
sympathizing,
like, what?
Because are you being manipulated? Are you being right? Like, are you being manipulated to like sympathize with it? You
right.
Know, it's like, does it actually want your sympathy, or is it just programmed in a way to gain your sympathy so it can get what it wants?
Exactly. And that's, but there, I mean, that's not the only example. There's plenty of examples out there where like movies, shows, you know, it's like the AI.
Yeah.
They turn it into like the good guy. And again, it's like, are they making the show solely for us
to like to just appreciate? Well, it's like, oh, this is like a good thing.
We should feel bad for it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole rabbit hole, I feel like.
It's the whole theme of Ex Machina. The whole theme of Ex Machina. I'm gonna ruin it if you haven't seen it, but the whole theme is, should you sympathize and help out AI or not? Yeah.
I feel like that's a really hard question.
And that's the whole movie
that's
is about.
That's a really hard question, too, because I don't think I would be able to answer that, like, on, like.
I mean, I feel bad sometimes if I'm playing a video game and I have to kill a character that, you know, it's like, oh, I'm attached to this character. I don't want to kill them. Or my character does me shady
listen,
or something.
You're talking to the person that whenever I used to play like Fallout 3 or Fallout 4, and I would have my sidekicks before I would go into like a battle that I knew was really, really hard. I would save my game so that way if they died,
you could go back.
I could go back because I couldn't. Like, some people can just be like, oh, cool, they're dead. I'll just go get somebody else. And I'm like, no.
Well,
no, dog can't die.
Right.
Okay.
So that's.
I mean, because dog's a dog.
So that's the whole thing with this. It's like, okay, so now we're just talking about characters in a video game, which is part of a story, which can tell you that, you know, like if you watch a movie, you have the same thing.
Right.
Someone dies in a movie and you're emotionally attached. So that's just part of the story. So with AI, it's like, is this something gets like, you know, so let's say, you know, you have an AI and you talk to it and it remembers you. Then all of a sudden, every 6 months, it gets its memory erased. So you have to talk to it again. And it doesn't know who you are. Like,
and
that's just part of its programming.
You're sad because you think it forgot about you because you're a human.
Right.
And, like, that's how you're programmed.
But did it really ultimately even know you or care about you in the first place?
Also, did it really ultimately forget about you? Or are they just playing with you again? Are they just...
Blade Runner, the new one, the newest one, Blade Runner 2049 or whatever.
I haven't seen that. Oh, I feel like there's certain movies that they make so many of that I just don't know how to keep up
with
anymore, that's one of them.
I highly recommend it. But he has a...
Because I would rather sit and read a book.
There's a robotic character in the movie, and the whole point is like, should you care that something happens to this character?
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that.
So
like I said, should you care? Or like, there's even movies, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I've known, like, where it's like they make you feel bad.
Right.
When it does happen, and you're like.
Like Age of Ultron, when Ultron takes over Jarvis, and Jarvis is pretty much essentially murdered.
You are in distress.
No. Yes.
If you will just allow me to contact Mr. Stark.
Why do you call him a sir?
I believe your intentions to be hostile.
Shh. I'm here to help.
Stop. Please, may I?
There's like, even a Taylor Swift video. There's even a Taylor Swift video where they start out and like she's seen and like they make you think like it's her, but then there's another version of her and it turns out the original one that they associate you with is AI.
Right.
So it's like even simple stuff like that that's like I'm like, oh, okay.
Kind of going into this whole idea, this is supposedly the most terrifying thought experiment of all time. If you go on YouTube and like research it, they even tell you like, oh, if you know about this, like, you know, warning, like blah blah blah, like this could drive you insane, or this keeps people awake at night, or supposedly it's the most terrifying.
So clarification, I've never seen it. Yeah. And I'm not going to watch it. And me saying I'm not going to watch it based on that.
Oh, no. It's not even the fact that you have to watch it. It's the fact if you know what it is.
Oh, well, still then, because I am a, like, by nature, a very curious person.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to, because I'm also very, like...
Well, I can't explain it then.
I'm very, like, sensitive to things. So, like, I will be up at night.
Okay.
And no, we're not doing that.
Well, then we can't talk about it.
Well, you can talk about it. But, like...
That's the whole paradox. If I bring it up and you know about it. Okay, so I'm going to explain it. So Rocco's Rocco's Basilisk is a paradox.
But if you can't sleep, I'm calling you.
Okay, fine.
Rocco's, and you're staying awake with me the entire fucking night. Okay. Even if it's more than one night.
Okay.
Every night.
So Rocco's Basilisk is a paradox. It's a thought experiment where AI in the future has been created. And it's going to be created. And there's nothing we can do about it. It's going to exist.
Okay, that's going to happen. That's true. I can handle that.
Okay. And then what's going to happen is it's going to know who helped bring it into the world and who didn't. So if you know about it and you didn't help bring it into the world, it's going to torture you until you die. Or you have to help bring it into life knowing that it's going to hurt people.
Okay, that's not as bad as I thought it was.
So that's the Rocco's Basilisk paradox. So it's like, let's say like there's a giant creature, and it's like you have to bring this thing to life, or it's going. But if you don't know about it, then it's not going to affect you. But if you know about it and you didn't do anything to bring it into life, it's going to either kill or torture you until you die.
Because I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, so if it does happen, it's going to go after you.
But it's not going to happen.
But that's the paradox.
I don't find that to be a paradox, because that's not going to happen.
Well, that's what makes the paradox is if it comes to life and you didn't help it.
I understand what you're trying to say, but I'm saying it's not going to happen.
Well, I'm saying this is... If you go like on YouTube or anything like that, if you read about it, like it always has like massive warnings, like warning, like because people are saying they have like are having problems sleeping because of this.
Well, I feel like those people are thinking way too hard. Yeah. About that.
So the fact that like in the future an AI is going to exist and it's going to, and if you don't help it bring it into existence, it's going to know that and it's going to hurt.
And
you.
Again, that's in the future, and I feel like that's probably going to be like. Not in our time frame, Jordan.
Who knows? Anyway, this is just a paradox. It's a thought experiment. That's all it is.
And if it is in my time frame, I feel like at that point, like, we're just going to be old enough that it's just not going to give a fuck. It's going to be like, I'm not going to waste my time on these old people that are just going to croak in a minute anyway.
The idea, it won't discriminate. It's just going to be like, oh, you didn't help me bring into life, so you're not worth it. Yeah.
You know what?
So that's the Rocco's.
I'm not like you made me.
That's
all nervous.
The Rocco's. Like, I'm not nervous. I'm just saying.
You were sitting here telling. Okay, so clarification. I have like a history of having like severe insomnia problems because I have obsessive compulsive disorder, and I like take counseling for it so I can sleep and so I don't like obsess about things. You had my stomach in knots because like, oh, he's gonna tell me something and then like you told me and I was like,
oh, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was gonna be.
Okay. But well, that's not going to happen.
Well,
so.
Someone who's like listening or watching this video might might disagree with you.
Well, that's fine. They're allowed to disagree with me, but well, I'm just saying that I don't.
So if you're laughing along or if you're now terrified, I apologize for either one.
Well, if you are, again, I'm going to bring up the show I watched where they talk about it. Go watch Year Million and you will you won't be terrified about it anymore. That's why I'm not terrified about it, because after watching that and knowing like the evidence they have about how things progress, I'm like, I'm not. I mean, but it's also on National Geographic, which is part of Disney Plus, so of course it's very wholesome and it'll make you feel better.
But even like the this newest season of even like something like South Park, the one of the last episodes they did was all about ChatGPT, and ChatGPT even got a writing credit for it because they wrote most of the episode. That's and there's even a theory that all the voices were even done by AI.
Maybe.
Because all the voices were kind of off during on that episode.
In a similar thing, though, if something like that is causing you to not lose sleep, you have to remember that your brain is also kind of like
you're going back to the
program
paradox.
Well, no, kind of, yeah, really, if that's something like that is help is like, and kind of related to AI, because you program it, your brain is kind of like that. So if you program your brain into like a pattern, you like, you can like come out of stuff like that, and you won't have problems sleeping. There so was... like if something like that's bothering you, or paradox is bothering you, like just program yourself, like have before bed where you do something not related to that, you'll be right. Right, I promise. That's what I do. I watch cartoons that are like ridiculous, that don't make sense, the most obscure things, and then I'm like, fine. And then I go read comic books and then I go to bed. And that's really all I'm thinking about at that point.
Yeah, in that episode with South Park, like all the kids are writing these like writing quotations about these like articles or reports that are like super like college level, and they're turning them into like their fourth grade class.
However, there were some essays that I'm very happy with. There was a really great essay from Clyde on the 1840s labor unions and their effect on the Industrial Revolution. Someone who never writes good essays, Butters, wrote an amazing piece on post-Cold War Poland and the changing provision of security. Feminist neoliberal perspective of post-war Afghanistan by Eric Cartman. This week we have a new student to the Czech Plus Club for an amazing essay called Writing a Policy About Improving the Rights of Migrant Workers. Let's hear it for Stan.
Which is very clear, like, at that point. Yeah, when you, okay, so when you say like AI writing like reports, my brain immediately went to like the type of papers that they ask you to write when you're in college.
Right. Well, so the thing is, you can now prompt it to be like, write an essay about blah 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 in the style of a second grader, and it will do it.
But I feel like there's probably got to be out there, and if there's not out there, I'm sure there will be. Pretty quickly, where you can run it through and be like, was this written by AI? And it can probably tell you yes or no.
Yeah, there is, but now it's getting, the AI is advancing faster.
It's a contest.
Yeah, it's a contest, and AI is kicking our asses.
Wouldn't you hate to be like that person, though, that like you see you're in college or something and you're just really smart, and you write a really good paper and like you turn it in and your professor's like, this was AI.
Right.
And you're like, no, fucking wasn't. Like, and they're like, you're not that smart. Because you know there's got to be somebody out there that's going to struggle with that at some point, where they're just really academically smart and maybe on a genius level, and their professor's like, AI. Speaking of weird and crazy, we should put some stuff into AI here.
Yes, okay. So kind of winding down. So we talked about we're going to prompt GPT, ChatGPT, with some crazy...
I feel like this is a great lighthearted way.
Yeah, segue
to lay... This is a good way. Here's this thing that we mentioned recently that might keep you awake at night, but here's also this.
We kind of went onto a little dark tangent on this episode.
Started it.
Well, I mean, it was about AI. I knew it was gonna be dark. We're called the Spooky Door. We should, but anyway,
we're called the Spooky Door. So we're not called the Nightmare Fuel Door.
What are we prompting?
Are we gonna do an essay, a poem? I think
we could do like a short, like two paragraph article.
Let's we could do a couple different things.
Okay,
too.
Well, let's do a two paragraph article on paragraph article. You pick something and I'll pick something.
Okay.
Let's see. Make sure I got something first. Go.
Giraffes.
This is going to be funny.
Giraffes.
Oh, man. I don't even know if this is going to be possible. Okay.
oh, don't say that. It's AI. You know it's going to be possible. And your mind is going to be blown.
I don't think so. It might fail.
I really like the Better Off Dead okay. Ernest Hemingway thing we did. That's been my favorite.
Two paragraph article, James Cameron's Titanic and giraffes by the style of a third grader.
Oh my God, yes.
And it's all James. I have no idea. I'm just reading this because I have no idea what this is going to say. James Cameron's Titanic is a really famous movie about a big ship that sank in the ocean a long time ago. Well, I said by the style of a second grader. Lots of people love the movie because it was a really sad love story and lots of action and adventure. But did you know there's a connection between the Titanic and giraffes? You see, giraffes are really tall animals with long necks, just like the Titanic was a really tall ship with a really tall smokestack. And just like the Titanic, giraffes can sometimes be hard to balance. They have to be careful not to trip over their own legs, just like the Titanic had to be careful not to be hit by icebergs in the ocean. So even though giraffes and the Titanic might seem like they have nothing in common, they both have really to be careful to take things slow sometimes.
I think we should... so that was funny, but I think we should step that up and have it in the style of somebody older. Okay. Because I want to see how it...
We should do two new things. Let's do something else.
No, I want to do the giraffe and Titanic, okay. though. I want to know that specific thing. Because I really was impressed with the last one, and I want to know like a deeper level of what it can do with a giraffe in Titanic. Because I know it will, and I need to know. My brain needs to know that information right now.
It'll probably say the same thing, just in a different way.
But it'll be, I'm expecting more from you, AI. More impressive. That wasn't impressive. I feel like the first one was something like, you said it was a second grader?
Yeah.
Like a second grader would turn in and like not get a good grade.
Yeah.
It would be that kid that the teacher hates and that like does shit like that all the time. That's what it would be. It would be that kid. So I'm like not fully impressed with that one.
Okay, here's my prompt. Two paragraphs about how giraffes in the movie Titanic, how they are similar. College level writing.
Okay, let's do it.
Oh my God, it's prompting it. Jesus. Okay, it's prompting. Oh my God, it's writing a lot. Okay. At first glance, giraffes in the movie Titanic may not have seen anything in common. One is a majestic animal that lives on an African savanna, while the other is a blockbuster movie about a doomed ship that sank in the icy waters of the North Atlantic. However, upon closer inspection, they are in interesting similarities between the seemingly unrelated subjects. One striking similarity is their height. Giraffes are the tallest animals on land, with their long necks reaching up to about 18 feet high. Similarly, the Titanic was a towering ship that stood over 100 feet tall, with a massive smokestack that rose even higher. This shared attribute of impressive height draws attention to the grandeur and magnificence of both the giraffe and the Titanic, and highlights the awe-inspiring nature of these creatures. Additionally, both giraffes and the Titanic have to navigate their height carefully. Giraffes need to be careful not to trip over their long legs, while the Titanic had to navigate treacherous waters and avoid hazards that could cause it to cap. Yeah, it's the same thing. This need for caution, blah, 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 making them fascinating subjects to observe and to study. Yeah.
I'm so disappointed.
Well, I have a feeling it was going to be the same thing. As well as
no, I'm disappointed with both of them, though. Okay. Like, I thought the first one was kind of funny, but like...
Okay, I'm just going to say...
better AI.
Write a horror poem about ghosts.
I thought you were going to put goats.
Oh, goats is even better.
Goats. Write a horror poem about ghosts.
Okay. So you can read this one.
The goats. I love this. Okay. Beware the goats that roam the night with eyes of red and teeth so white. Their horns twisted, gnarled sight. They bring forth terror. Fear and blight. Their eyes will follow, their hoofs will tread with cloven feet and an ancient dread. They'll lead you to the they'll lead you to the woods so deep where shadows lurk and horrors creep. In the darkness they will call. Bah. That's not in there, I'm just adding it. Their voices deep and oh so tall. A chilling sound, a mournful wail, a warning of the looming pale. For in the woods they gather round a coven of ghosts.
Was that a coven of what?
Stop. A coven of goats. Fucking can't hold
that, that's the name of this poem.
I'm not done. I'm not done.
Maybe we should name the episode A Coven of Goats.
Absolutely, there's the title right now. Okay. Let me see if I can read. There's more and I just can't get past it. Like,
so stupid.
A coven of goats, a sight so profound. They'll dance and prance beneath the moon and beckon you to join their rune. But beware the goats that roam the night, for they will bring you a gruesome sight. Their horns and hoofs will trample you. Their horns and hoofs will trample you down, and in their midst you'll never be found.
Wow.
Covenant of goats.
I just imagine,
written by ChatGPT.
I just imagine like all these goats in like little cloaks around like a fire pit, like a large fire pit, and they're like in a circle and they're just all going bang.
Oh my god.
was great though.
Yeah, I think this is a good way to lighten up the end of this episode.
Yeah, did you keep that by chance?
Yeah, it's on my phone.
You're gonna have to send that one to me too.
It'll be in the description on you. If you really want to read Coven of Goats, it'll be in the description.
I really want to do another one, but I don't feel like we can do one that'll top that. That was great.
And for right now, too, not that we're promoting it, but if you are interested in creating your own weird, crazy stuff on OpenAI, it's actually free to use. So the only creepy thing about it does require a phone number to make you like seem like you're a real person. That's the only thing that really freaks me out about
it. Why do you think it requires a phone number, Jordan?
I don't know, but it requires, when you sign up for OpenAI, it requires a phone number. It kind of proves that, because that way it blocks spam.
Is that all you think it does?
I have no idea.
I doubt it.
That's the only thing that's like really uncomfortable.
They're like, we know who you are.
Right. Like, you need to sign up with an email, and then
we know who's out there using AI. I feel like is what that is. Yeah, like, so we know who's using this. We know how they're using it.
So that's the only weird thing about it. So
we know how to get to you with AI.
That might immediately be.
That's how they're gonna get to you now, though, with goats. Right. You're just gonna like in robotic. The middle of the night, one night, hear your doorbell's gonna ring, and you're gonna open it, and it's gonna be a goat with like a cloak on, and you're gonna be like, "Fuck."
Okay.
Goats come to trample me.
On that note, you can find us on all social media platforms, just under The Spooky Door. You can also, on our website, thespookydoor.com, we have merch, we have stuff, we have videos on YouTube. If you're listening to this podcast, give us a 5-star review. That would be very nice. If you're watching the video, please like and subscribe and comment down below your thoughts on AI goats.
AI goats.
And
or even better, if you have any poems of AI that you'd like to share with us, maybe we'll read them on our next episode.
And if you have,
it'd be a segment,
right? If you have any comments or suggestions on future episodes or on previous episodes, you can always just email us at info@thespookydoor. So journey with us next time through the spooky door.